This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Frida Liu,
Arvini Branch.
And of course, our producer of the day is Christine Wong. Say hello, Christine.
Hi.
We're going to be with you until around 1 o'clock, maybe a little bit earlier today. We might wrap up a little bit earlier. We will let you know, though. And if you'd like to get in touch with the show, 0187-898-899 is the WhatsApp number, Twitter or Instagram, available at BFM Radio. We are running a poll today, ladies and gentlemen, on both Instagram and on Twitter. And the question is, in light of the developments with COVID-19, if your employer asks you to work from home for 3 months, could you do it? Why or why not? And whether or not you could is a kind of two-pronged question. Could you stand being isolated for 3 months? And could you afford it, I guess, is part of the bigger question. The reason we're asking this is because over in the UK, the public could be told to work from home for at least 3 months under plans being considered by the UK government to stop the spread of the coronavirus. Officials are considering a series of draconian measures, according to some people, under plans revealed by the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson. Worst case scenario suggests 80% of the public could be infected with a 1% mortality rate. So the UK minister on Tuesday set out their action plan for combating the spread of the virus. 39 confirmed cases at the time of the article being published last night. They're currently focused on containment, which has reached almost every country in Western Europe and claimed the lives of over 3,000 people worldwide. The Prime Minister on Tuesday said it was likely the COVID-19 would continue to spread across the UK and that his government would soon shift to focusing on delaying the spread of the virus. Apparently, they have a three-pronged plan. But also, Boris Johnson is the guy who also said in the same news conference that he was at a hospital visiting patients who he think might have had the virus, and he was happily shaking hands and will continue to shake hands. This is the Prime Minister of my country, ladies and gents. I'll just leave that out there. Now, of course, we've asked for feedback, we've asked for tweets, we've asked for WhatsApp, and this all started around about 10 o'clock. People have been voting since about 10 o'clock this morning, and already the polls are running around 250, 260 votes. You've still got an hour left. What are the numbers so far?
Yeah, so 59% say yes, they would stay at home for 3 months. 26.7 say yes, but not for that long. 10% say no, my job is hands-on. And 3% say no, not enough money.
I think what we were looking at when I first heard about this story is just how reactionary it is. You know, 3 months away from work. I mean, all right, for those of you who have not had a proper holiday in years, you might be saying, oh, this sounds great.
But not Italy.
But think about the economy, though. Think about the industries that are going to be affected. We're looking at healthcare professionals, of course, who often will be going in and out of people's houses, visiting people, especially in winter, who are already at risk of catching something like this. If that's already stretched and they're having to, like, stretch even further, that causes problems. You're looking at stuff like food delivery services, of course, they'll be in demand, but they'll also be under a lot of stress and strain, and potentially, you know, they will be the ones that are most at risk.
Yep.
But stuff like office workers, you can work remotely from home. A lot of people can do that, you know, via their laptop, even though we spoke about what they're doing in China to do something similar and how that's not being received so well over there. But other industries, you know, construction industry still has to go on. Are they going to pause that for 3 months?
Right.
You know, the problem with that is they're waiting on materials coming from all over Europe. Of course, a lot of stuff comes from Italy. Stuff comes from China as well. That's all going to be impacted. And most people in the UK, with it being under kind of arguably austerity measures and wintertime, will not have savings to last 3 months.
Right.
So that's what I don't understand. Is it when they say you have to stay at home for 3 months, does it mean without pay? Or is the company still
paying
you?
That's the other thing. I mean, and I think that's the kind of thing that's been thrown out at the minute. And they're kind of still, what do we do with it?
And even if you're paid, right? I mean, the company has to make money, right? I mean, if you're not out there bringing in revenues, where are they getting their, you know, money from, right? So it's, I think like in another country. So we were saying 2 weeks, you know, sort of evaluate yourself, that kind of thing. But I don't know, 3 months.
Of course, we do have a clip from Bojo. We thought we'd have a quick listen to see what wisdom he can impart on us today.
On the issue of statutory sick pay and the risks that the workforce could conceivably run, in that we're going to keep all options under review, but we're well aware of the issue. If the virus moves into the kind of stages that our scientific advisors have just been talking about, it will be very important for everybody to think not only what we can do to prevent the spread of the virus individually, but also what we can do to avoid too much pressure on the NHS. So when it comes to using services such as GPs or 111, it will be quite important to be self-restraining where possible. Because like I say, I have no doubt at all that with the scientific advice that we have, with the levels of preparedness that we have, with our fantastic NHS, our ability to test and to survey the spread of the disease, that this country is going to get through coronavirus. No doubt at all, and get through it in good shape. Well, the Bay's Alok Sharma is we are now engaging with businesses of all kinds to ensure that they understand what you know, the reasonable worst case scenario is. Of course, making the necessary preparations to ensure that they have the protections that they need. I think the British public can see exactly what the balance of risk is. I think they can see, because I think we're getting some very, very clear advice. I think they're getting a very clear picture of how we all need to behave, and I think we'll get through it. We haven't taken decisions on specific events as we've been discussing just now. And on the powers issue, very, very important for everybody to understand that yes, it is necessary to have some legislation in respect of things like, you know, school operation, borders, quarantine, but these are exceptional and short term, and they're not intended to last beyond the outbreak.
I feel very confident with your Prime Minister.
I don't.
Bojo.
You know, they're talking about creating, at the end there, when he talks about these necessary things, he's talking about no-go zones, banning mass public gatherings and all kinds of stuff. You know,
the train, the tube.
The train,
hello,
the tube, all of these things that keep, you know, London and the UK running.
Functioning, yeah.
Functioning as a country.
There is this, there's a sentence in the article that we're looking at, and it says, worst case scenario suggests 80% of the public could be infected with a 1% mortality rate. So if you're thinking about, you know, sort of quarantining or keeping 80% of the public and changing their sort of work schedules or keeping some of them at home or, you know, for 3 months or 1 month or whatever, that's like, I mean, logically, even without looking too deep into it, that's crippling the economy. Because,
well, just look at China right now, in fact, and how that's affected the world, because that's 6% of the entire human population has been quarantined. In fact, we got a little clip this morning from Andy Sear. He's an independent economist. And this is what he had to say about the impact it's having on China.
But my question today is, how bad will it be on the Chinese economy?
Well, so far we see that the service sector is really suffering a lot. You know, I think that most restaurants, even though now are open, but customers are not showing up. So a couple of weeks ago, the restaurants were shut because the government ordered them to. Now, even though the restaurants are open, people are not showing up. And you obviously have a transportation sector suffering a lot, like airlines and rail and so forth, long distance bus and so forth. So the service sector is half of GDP. And obviously, with the service sector like operating maybe at 50% of capacity, so the economy is suffering a great deal. So and that kind of a loss, you cannot catch up. When people don't drink coffee today, they are not going to drink more tomorrow. It's not like the manufacturing sector that when it gets better, you can just do overtime and catch up. I think the service sector loss is permanent. So this is a huge blow for the economy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a guy to listen to. He correctly predicted the 1997 Southeast Asian financial crisis. He's the guy that predicted the subprime mortgage thing that happened over in the US, which, of course, led to the global economic collapse back in 2008. He's not somebody, you know, you just kind of go, oh, okay, thanks for the information. Mm-hmm. You know, when he says something like that, it's important to listen, right?
Yeah, and it's also not as easy just asking people to stay at home. And I mean, the implications and stuff, every office or every workplace has a small group that has to work, has to leave the office to work somewhere. Most of the time, it's a sales team. But then it's always the people who have to go to other offices or places to, either deal with them or to, for cross information or whatever it is. Offices don't operate in their own silos. You always have people who need to travel to go and get things for the office to function. So it's not as easy as just telling, okay, stay at home, you don't have to come in and whatever, we'll figure it out. You have people who have to go and meet other people for the office to actually survive.
To function.
I'm just looking at where we are right now. We do a lot of interviews. A lot of people come and see us. What are the measures we can do? Do we start then doing these interviews, over the phone? We have to come in with our fingerprint. Do we just leave the door open so we don't have to do that? I mean, it's the other kind of security that we're looking at. So, it's all these considerations that we have to look at, and we're all not prepared.
We do have a little clip from Jing Tan. He's the Regional General Manager and Director for the International SOS for Southeast Asia. He was asked this morning on the morning run, how prepared are Malaysian organizations for COVID-19 and what are the best practices for businesses?
Well, I think, it's a mixed picture out there. There are companies who are very well prepared. There are companies who, don't see the urgency to act now. It comes to, the company's nature of business and their risk tolerance level. From a pandemic plan point of view, so we have, advised clients in terms of the temperature screening, working in different offices, Team A, Team B. The key thing is to ensure that the companies adhere to their duty of care obligations, and to ensure that, they actually test and practice the plans that they have in place.
Okay, folks, we're going to wrap up for this talk set, but don't forget we are asking that question in light of the developments with COVID-19. If your employer asks you to work from home for 3 months, could you do it? Why or why not? Let us know. We have polls on Instagram, polls on Twitter, and of course, get in the conversation via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. We're going to take a short break with some music from Jenny Lewis with C. Fernando. When we come back, Frida will be talking to us all about Spotify and their new plans for world domination on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.